Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality. Shane Jones.
Reality isn't what it seems. I'm Dr. D sticking aboard a craft with a tractor beam. Is life a simulation or an astral dream? Aliens travel through black holes in different galaxies. Life is a bizarre odyssey. With a mic talking about philosophy. Well, Bigfoot is stalking campers. As a Wendigo walks through the woods of sharpened antlers. Using a Ouija board to talk to the dead like a necromancer. There's so many questions and not enough answers. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane. And tonight for you guys, I actually have a return guest and going about things a little bit differently than we have in the past. Last time we were on, we had this just kind of fun back and forth organic conversation. And it definitely happened that way this time, diving into some of his new upcoming work and stuff that's already out, I guess, that he recently released. But in the process of it, of course, we get really unhinged as far as back and forth with different cryptid jokes, all that kind of stuff. So if you guys are into that sense of humor, I definitely think you guys are going to enjoy this episode because it definitely is niche humor to people in the cryptid community. But before we get into this one, of course, we have to do the news and updates and the front of house stuff. Of course, I got to keep telling you guys about this because it's quickly approaching. I will be vending at Small Town Monster Fest 2. That'll be happening June 29th in downtown Canton, Ohio at the Doubletree by Hilton. Kids 12 and under are free, but everybody else, you guys have to make sure you get yourself a ticket. The full team will be there as far as the Open Minds Media team goes. That means me, Oren, Riley, Jenny, Gabby, all of us will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're really hoping to see a lot of you guys out there. And if you guys are coming out, make sure you guys stop at the table and say hi to us. And moving into the front of house, if anyone has an encounter that they would like to report, you guys can report those to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree and there is a specific submission form for that. I'd absolutely love to hear about all your guys' encounters. You guys can either type them out or you guys can record yourself and then send them to me by email. And depending on what you guys want to do with them, I can either one, use them for an upcoming show that I will be working on that will be a Patreon exclusive. Hopefully it'll be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So if you guys are Patreon members, definitely make sure you guys look out for that. Or simply, if you guys just want somebody to talk about with them, you don't want to be publicized anywhere, or you guys want somebody to possibly come out and investigate, depending on where you're at, I can definitely do that. So make sure you guys report those encounters. And if you guys enjoyed the show, please check out the other show that I do, Bizarre Encounters, with my awesome co-host, Oren. Over there, a little bit of a different format where we deep dive into stuff, and a lot of it's our research. Of course, we have some guests on in the mix, but a little bit different of a vibe as far as that show goes. And you guys can also check out our YouTube / most of the time Patreon exclusive show, Bizarre Inquiry. And if you guys have already checked that show out, you know that we usually take in listener questions and we discuss them and let our minds wander. So we're always taking in questions for that. So don't forget to submit your questions for Bizarre Inquiries. And if you guys want to support the show, a couple different ways to do so. Number one, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show if you guys think that I've earned it. Helps me out as far as the show getting boosted up in the algorithms. And I absolutely love reading your guys' 5-star reviews on the show and giving you guys a big shout out. Number two, you guys can go and join the Patreon. A lot of exciting stuff going on over there with the tiers recently being updated. A lot of new tiers over there. So you guys can always check that out and see which ones would fit you best. There is, of course, a 7-day free trial available for a couple of the tiers if you guys want to see what it's all about before you sign up. But there's going to be a lot more Patreon exclusive content happening in the next couple months. So make sure you guys are checking that out. And the third way you guys can support the show is through the Open Minds Media merch store. Over there, I have designs for the shows and a lot of other non-podcast related designs that all have to do with, you know, cryptid, Sasquatch, paranormal, all that kind of fun stuff. The newest design I dropped is this alien face where it's kind of like a mix between like a demon slash alien face. And the top of it says alien or demon. You decide. I really like the design. I think you guys really like the design. So if you guys want to scoop one for yourself, code CRYPTID10 is still active to be able to receive 10% off at checkout. And if you guys are planning on coming to Small Town Monster Fest, there will be an exclusive discount code that you guys will only be able to get there. And if you guys want to stay up to date on the show, you guys can always check out Inquiries of All Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram, Facebook, Discord, YouTube, and TikTok. And every single thing that I mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show for the second time, author, podcaster, and researcher, Gregory Fedora. How's it going today, man?
Great, man. It's great to be back. It's good to see you again, man. It's been a coon's age.
That's what I was going to say, man. It's been one of those things. What's a fortnight exactly? Isn't that like 4 weeks or something?
Yeah, but it's been more than that.
It's been like 6 months.
It's been a few fortnights. So, yeah. But yeah, but I listen to your stuff. So I like, so it's almost like I'm there, but not, because I'm not talking to you, but it's cool to be here again.
That's why we got to reconnect every couple months just to make sure we stay connected. But
we were like, for a while, we were talking back and forth because we had an idea for a book, and we'll get back into that, I'm sure. But then I had someone getting mad at me because they're writing a very similar book. And then I was like, I didn't want to like step on their toes because like, I know they've been working hard on it. And then I just didn't realize it was so close to what you and I had been talking about. And with Teddy Roosevelt and all that. So,
well, I got some good news actually, and I'm sure he's probably listening to the show. I have a friend that wanted to start working on a comic book at some point soon. So he wanted me to write it, and he was going to do the art for it. So that might be something all three of us might be able to work on that we could talk about a little bit after the show, because we had some ideas for definitely. A plot and stuff for that. So,
that'd be awesome. I'm totally into that. I love writing stories. So,
and having the author's half the battle, because usually it's like you have the method of wanting to write the story, you have the dialogue, you have all that set up. But when it comes to comic books, it's like finding somebody that's going to do that much art. It's like this starts adding up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I tried doing a comic book in the past, and it was, like I said, the artist part was so difficult. Like I had a couple say yes, and then about 3 weeks into it, like, man, this is too much. I was like, okay, so
because it's like hundreds of detailed pictures versus like, you know, if you're just doing the headings or something for a book, it's like maybe 10, 20 little no background pictures. But a comic book, it's like full pictures, full pages, 30 pages worth. Like that's a lot of time. The art is honestly what takes 99.9% of the time of doing a comic book.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And like, and when I write a paragraph, they see that as like 2 pages of art. And I'm like, well, it's just a paragraph. And then I send them like, you know, 30 paragraphs and they're like, oh my gosh. You know, I was like, and it's not even the end of the story. And they're like, no, like, dang it, dude. And I'm like, so I think that I overwhelmed them because I was just giving them, I was like, boom, 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 boom. And like, cause I get, when I start writing, I get really pumped about it. And then
you got to keep it on retainer and you'll write it all out, but you only send them a paragraph at a time. So you don't overwhelm them.
Exactly. That's what I need to do. But then that was my problem. I was like, hey, here's the story. And then they just saw like pages of stuff. And I'm like, well, that can be like 30 comic books. And they're like 30. And it's like, all right. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
I get excited. You got to get the story out once you get rolling on it. That's what it comes down to. Like the art takes a minute, but the story, you got to put it all out on the page while you're inspired to do it.
Yeah. But then I need to just slow drip it, like you said, to them so that they don't get overwhelmed. Like that's the issue.
Don't tell them how much you have back on retainer though, because that'll also overwhelm them.
Yeah. It's like, and I'll be like, yeah, I'll have some more in like in a couple weeks. You know, it's like, and meanwhile, I have like 200 pages done.
This is a full novel, not a comic book.
Yeah, they're like, what's going on? No. This will last for 20 years. We're good.
We're a full series. This will go on beyond the time that I die.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess a good spot to get rolling before we start getting all too heavy into the conversation, of course, because we got a couple different things we're going to talk about today. And this was partly a good segue because we weren't going to dive into your new book first and foremost, but at least to give people some kind of a background if they didn't listen to the last time you came on the show.
Yeah.
Why don't you let them know a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your background?
Right. Well, like I'm into folklore and I'm into the monsters and I like to preserve the stories, like the original stories and even the ones that, like, as things evolve, like the different creatures, they start to, you know, as more witnesses or people have encounters with something and they attribute it to whatever monster it is. And so I started doing, I think last time we talked was my Happy Little Monster series.
Yep.
Which is, I go over different monsters and I give them about a page each, page or two, and they get to, I tell their story briefly, where they're located. I have a picture of them. It's all very artsy. And right now I have volumes 1 through 4. I am still working on, I'm going to keep going. I have volumes 5, 6, and 7 in the process.
So you've barely touched like the Appalachian area. You have so many more monsters to spread out to, and you could start doing international too once you run out of ones in your area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I've spread out like I have 5, 6, and 7 going, and I kind of go all in a way. I go all over the world with it, just like when I find like because I'll just start researching like, hey, what's something scary in Japan, and then that's a rabbit hole. Like, there's so many scary things in Japan.
All the yokai? And, there's, like, hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah. So, it's like, I start finding these, and I'm like, and then, like, I read what people say they look like, and then I'm like, then, to me, that's a challenge that I have to create it. And so, then, like, I do all the artwork for it. But one thing I didn't touch on, and this kind of gets into the new book, was I kind of left Bigfoot alone. Because I was always like, everyone talks about Bigfoot. And Bigfoot this, Bigfoot that, and like he gets a lot of publicity. So I was like, I'm not gonna put Bigfoot in my Happy Little Monster books. I did other versions. I had like the skunk ape, but I had their cousins, but I wasn't gonna get into like, you know, Bigfoot, Sasquatch of the Northwest, and
that's like a whole book to itself right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I was like, he has so many, and in my mind, I was just like, what would I like if I were to write about it? It'd just be what everyone has already said. Like, so I was like, I can't, I just, it was like, everyone, there's so much information on Bigfoot, I don't need to write another Bigfoot story. But then this actually started a few years ago, because I saw Jane Goodall with her the gorillas, the silverback gorillas in Africa, and it was a documentary, and I was watching it, and I was like, this would be really cool if they weren't gorillas and it was a dude with Bigfoot and a family of Bigfoot. And then he's like Jane Goodall, but with Bigfoot. And then that was in my head for a while. And I just didn't do anything because I was like, I'm not going to write a Bigfoot story. And then finally, a little over a year ago, I just started writing little paragraphs of it. And but like, it was just, you know, here or there. And like, what if this happened? And what if the, and I was just kind of, and I, my college roommate, who's a really good writer as well, I was just sending him as little funny stories to him. Like, here's a paragraph and of interaction of what happened. And as I was doing it, he was like kind of fixing it. Cause he was like seeing errors and he's like grammatically making them better. And he sent it back to me and each time, and I was like, oh, and I saved him. And then he, like 8-9 months ago, he was like, so when are you going to turn that into a book? And I go, what? He goes, the Bigfoot stuff you keep sending me. I go, oh, I'm not. I go, it's stupid. He goes, dude, it's funny in that the way you wrote it was so serious and like as if it was real, like the story was real. And but he goes, but then it's funny because you're like, it's a crazy idea. And so I was like, all right, I'll look at it. So I started putting it all together, and I realized what I had done is it's almost like a journal of a dude who went into the Northwest, like I said, and met one Bigfoot and then slowly befriended that Bigfoot and got invited to live with a tribe of Bigfoots and then stayed there for like years. And then in the end, actually had won over the whole tribe to a point where he became the leader of the Bigfoot. And he was like living in that. And then he finally realizes, I got to go back to society and help humans realize Bigfoot's got all this great information. And so that was the idea. That was the story. And then that's how I got Sasquatch and Me. And the artwork is actually part of the story is he offers Bigfoot flowers at some point, and that is where they befriend each other. And then throughout it, I have like different, like it's actually one of the longer books I've written, but like there's,
I like the cover art that you did for it, that it kind of looks like the crumpled, like kind of journal cover art feel to it.
And then throughout it, I did like little watercolors of like supposedly what he, and I reference like each one has something to do with like it's written about like his interactions. And like my daughter's favorite picture in here is actually one I did of myself, which is really kind of funny because I made myself. Oh, there it is. I look like I'm a crazy man in the woods. And I did like a watercolor of me in the wilderness. And in the background, you can kind of see a Bigfoot back there.
Is that supposed to be the main character for the book?
Yes. Yeah. That. And so it's like, it's based, like I made it as though it was me. So it's like Gregory Fedora goes out and he lives with Bigfoot for 3 years. And what I did a lot of like the research of like what Bigfoot researchers say Bigfoot does. So I didn't make anything new up. I just took like, you know, the banging of the trees, the tree knocking and how they communicate, what they say they eat. I even have like, I did watercolors of the kind of food that they're said to eat, the different kinds of berries. And then I went and I did it all. And then as I was finishing it, my wife pointed out, she goes, you do realize you write so seriously, like when you read it, it seems very legit, everything that's going on. She goes, someone's going to get mad at you that this isn't real. And she goes, you have no disclaimer in it at all. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. So at the very end of the book,
it's going to be 100 years from now and nobody knows who you are and somebody finds this book. They're going to say it's labeled as fiction, but I guarantee you all this is real.
Yeah. Well, at the very last page of the book, it says, this is a work of fiction and should not be used as a guide for survival or how to integrate oneself with a pride of Sasquatch. So that's at that very last page. Because like Ed, she was just saying, you're going to get in trouble. Like someone's going to get mad at you for this. Like I was like, they gotta know, come on.
I like the way you worded it at the end though. It reminds me of those things they'll put on like labels for like shampoo from like Duke Cannon that say like, you know how to use this for directions.
Yeah, you can figure it out. Like, but she's like, you also don't want someone reading it and being like, oh hey, you can eat these things, and be like, oh, you don't want to eat that. But you know,
we will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
But yeah, so that's that, and that took a while to put together. It was actually harder than doing the Happy Little Monsters, because those were all, it's just, you know, the folklore, and I just rewrote and I added my humor to that. But this took more time because then I had to like kind of make the chapters segue into each other.
That's what I was going to say. If you're writing the pieces versus the other books, you can put them in any order you want, realistically.
Right? Yeah. And I had a couple people who were like beta readers, I guess is what you call them. And a couple things they point out was that I talk about some instances that happen and I reference it, but I don't go into great detail. And they said that makes it even more believable because I reference like, and that was the time that so-and-so saved me from this waterfall. And, but then I don't get into how that happened, but it's like, they're like, it seemed like they're like, that made it seem more like it was a journal where the guy just like is writing down the important things, but doesn't go into great detail about some of the stuff. And they're like, and that's when they're like, that's what makes it seem more believable because you don't go into super great detail on some things and other things you did. And so
like a journal, it's a reference point for yourself. If you remember the memory, there's no point in writing it back down again. Yeah. So you just make the reference, but without the explanation, because it's just supposed to be something to brush over to remember the important things.
Yeah. And then there's the little watercolors throughout, which I talked about in the book. I talked about how I sketched all these things as I went along. And so, which then that was the other funny part was because I wrote that and then my roommate's like, dude, you got to put those in. You know, you're talking about drawing these things. Now you got to actually, and that took time too. Like,
especially if you're doing the watercolor and stuff instead of doing it where you're kind of, you said you're doing Photoshop, yeah. And I assume you're probably faster on that than you are doing it by hand.
Yeah. So while I Photoshopped a lot of stuff and then I went back and I watercolored over, like, cause like I like the picture of myself, I Photoshopped the background and then I had to go and make it outlined, and which actually took a lot longer than I thought it would. Cause like Photoshop is easy until you're like, oh, I want to make it look outlined. So then I can watercolor to make it look like a sketch. And then that took a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. And then, cause I said, oh yeah, I'll do most of it in Photoshop and just watercolor. And then it's like, wow. Like I'd spend hours on one. I was just like, dang it. Cause I wanted to look like as legit as possible. Like mm-hmm. That this was cause I'm really not a great artist of like drawing. Like I can't, like I said, I can do Photoshop, but like, then I was like, I wanted to look like I hand drew this. And that's where like, that took a lot longer than I thought it was going to. Cause literally I ended up tracing over my picture and pictures and doing all this. I was like, dang on it.
Sounds like a lot of back and forth. You create it on Photoshop, you have it printed, then you actually watercolor it, and then you got to scan it back, put it back in Photoshop in order to put it back into the book again.
Yes. So it was like multi process, but it was fun. It's like, I enjoyed it. And so it's so far, like the people who have read it seem to really like it. So I've had a few people come up to me, like I've been to a couple events and they've bought it and then they talk to me later like, dude, this was really good, we really liked it. And I was like, oh good, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. So
I'm definitely gonna have to check it out, especially after hearing you talk it up so much.
It's fine, and you can tell me if you're like, dude, this was awful. That's fine, you can tell me, I'm fine.
Well, I won't be that mean. I'm not gonna tell you outright if it's awful, but
like do not make a sequel.
You know that sometimes movies are better when you just have one and they don't make a sequel.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it should just be a one-off. Yeah. It is funny that my roommate, Eric, who actually, like the guy that I was sitting to, he said like after it got all done, he ended up, even though he had read all the stuff free on the email, he bought a copy and it just to see how it all worked together. And because I did change a little, added some stuff. And then he called me up after you, and I didn't realize he went and bought it. And he had read it. And then he was like, dude, he goes, there's one thing that I see could make this amazing. He goes, if you could somehow turn this into like a mini series on Netflix or Amazon, he goes, it would be hilarious.
You got to record it as first person too.
Yeah.
Which would make it probably easier to actually film, in all fairness.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, if you could somehow do it, he goes, it would be so, he goes, I could see it being funny, especially now that there's that new Bigfoot movie. Was it
Sasquatch Sunset, one of the two.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I keep hearing mixed things. Some people say it's awesome. Some people say it's awful. So
people have said it's awful. I've heard, or saying that because it's raunchy. Because there's parts where they show like Sasquatches mating with each other and stuff. There was a scene that I saw from it where they took like mushrooms or something that they found in the woods, and they're like running around like obviously naked because they're Sasquatch and stuff, and they're like,
yeah,
it's just supposed to be very vulgar. That's what I've heard from the bad side of it. Which new generation, of course, they don't like that vulgar stuff. But the people that grew up with like 90s and earlier comedy, you're okay with the raunchy stuff, so I'm sure we'll love it.
Oh, yeah. So I'll probably will. I just haven't seen it yet. I do want to. But, like, that's what he said. He goes, after, he goes, that's how, he goes, this is, you know, would fit in with that type of mindset. And I was like, oh, okay.
Dude, the Sasquatch stuff in general is taking off, though, because just from the time that I started the podcast versus now, it's almost like every single time I go out and I go for a drive somewhere, I end up seeing at least one or two people with Sasquatch stickers. And that's something that I never thought I would ever see, at least up in Michigan, maybe in some of the more squatchy states. You know, we're known for, like, Dogman and stuff, but over where I'm at, we're kind of near the city. It's not near, like, up north, like, all the places where the sightings are. So I'm pretty surprised to actually see a bunch of these stickers all over the city. Like, it must be starting to take off because either people want something to be interested in that's mysterious and the paranormal stuff. I mean, it seems like most people will get into the paranormal and then it'll extend into aliens, cryptids, and it kind of just branches up from there. Yeah. Maybe it's one of those things that people have been into the paranormal for so long that they're just looking for the next thing to dive into. So maybe, you know, finding Bigfoot, for example, may have been ahead of its time. And now people are going to be wanting these like Sasquatch documentary shows and all that. And it's going to move from being all the paranormal stuff to all the Squatch stuff now.
Oh, yeah. And it is fun. It's pretty cool. And like with Sasquatch, I mean, he's been around forever. And so even where I'm at now, I'll drive down the road and there's people with like giant 8-foot tall Sasquatches in their front yard. There's like, I pass two of them daily, just like on the right in front of their house. And I'm like, you know, it's a little cutout. And I was like, well, that's weird. And then a couple months ago, I was driving up to Vermont, and I didn't realize Sasquatch was a big deal in New York.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of researchers from New York.
I didn't realize that. In my mind, I always put Sasquatch in the northwest. And then, like, I guess, you know, you got Skunk Ape down in Florida. And then, I guess, in Louisiana and stuff, there's different versions. But I never thought of Sasquatch in New York. And I was driving to Vermont, and there was a huge, you know, Bigfoot museum. And I was like, whoa. So I had to stop.
Of course. What do you do when you see a Sasquatch museum? You don't pass it up.
No, you got to go in. You know, anytime there's a museum about any kind of monster and you're driving it, I don't care if it's like a little shack. I got to stop, which may be a bad idea that, you know.
That's how they're going to get us. It's like the free candy thing. They just have a little shack that says Sasquatch Cast, and we're all, I want to see it. And we go in, and when we get trapped.
Yeah, it's like, or, you know, or a guy pulls up in a van, Mobile Sasquatch Museum. Come on in. That's how they got me.
They open the back doors of a white van. They're like, you want to see my castings?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would be the end of me. I'd be gone, and like Gregory Fedora missing. Last seen entering a Mobile Sasquatch Museum. Like, dang it. Why'd I do that?
Dude, man, even going into like where I'm at too, near Christmas, there's a house that's a couple streets over from mine, and they actually had a blow up Sasquatch like carrying a Christmas tree, and then they also had an alien that was like riding on like Santa's sleigh or something like that. And I was like, okay, maybe they just saw some cool stuff and they got it for the holidays. And then I drove past, and like you were talking about with the Sasquatch statues, not a statue, but the like silhouette thing where it's like flat and they cut it out of wood. They got one of those on their porch. So they're clearly people that are like into Sasquatch. And it wasn't just, they found some cool Christmas decorations.
I've been tempted to get one. But I was like, no, I'm going to hold out. I got to get like something different. Like I got to get a Dogman silhouette or, you know, or a Melonhead Kid silhouette. And
you got to get Sasquatch holding your own silhouette's hand now for your sake of your book and just put that in your backyard.
Like Sasquatch and a silhouette Sasquatch Emmy, and I'll be holding flowers and he'll be reaching for him. And I'll just be like, it'll be beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. And actually the name, like when I first said what I was calling the book, my roommate was like, dude, you can't call it Sasquatch Me. That sounds so stupid. And then when I showed him the picture and how I did all, he was like, I take it back. That's like the, he goes, it's the most ridiculous name of a book And then because, but with your artwork, it like, it's perfect. So
say the only other thing that would have fit is like the Sasquatch Diaries or the Sasquatch Chronicles, but that's too generic. Sasquatch and me. Perfect.
And then in this, if I did, you know, the Sasquatch Chronicles or Diaries, they would expect me to marry one of the Sasquatches or fall in love.
And, hey, then it'll be the reverse of the normal phenomenon, because it's usually the female DNA with the unknown male. This time it'll be the male DNA with the unknown with female. The unknown
female, and then that's how you get man squatch. You know, half man, half sand, he's running around, and you're like, dude, who did that? And I actually have a story about man squatch. That was a long time ago. I actually wrote a song about it.
Oh, and even better.
I'll send it to you sometime. But it's a guy who, it's a drunk hunter who falls in love and doesn't realize that he's so drunk that he's mated with a Sasquatch. And then his offspring becomes the man squatch. And he's only 5 foot tall, but he's covered in hair.
That's what I was going to ask. Which way does it go? Is it short with a lot of hair, or is it tall with no hair?
In my story, it's short with a lot of hair, and he smells, and he just runs around.
You got to have a mix of both. You got to have the really tall ones with no hair.
He went back. They had another kid, and that guy's like a hairless giant. And running around the woods naked too,
That's what giants were in the first place, right? They're just a Sasquatch with mange, right?
That's probably it, they did have red hair, Well, some of them, right?
On the top of their head, they had a little bit of hair left, but
maybe it wasn't hair. Maybe they just had sunburn and people mistook it,
They wanted to feel like they had hair, so they just made bundles of flowers and wore them on the top of their head. It was a Sasquatch wig.
There you go. they're jealous of their little brother who, had hair.
And the pissed off ones that lost their wigs turned into Wendigos, or at least what the natives thought were Wendigos.
See, it's all connected. They're all, it's all one monster. Just, they're all siblings, and, some have hair, some don't.
Depends on if you got the good side of the genetics or the bad side. If you got no hair, you're angry and you just eat people. If you got the hair, then you're content. You just hide in the woods and you just watch people.
And you're like, leave me alone. I'm a hairy guy that doesn't want to be, around you. So
I can just imagine Sasquatch, climbing off a tree, jumping down, and then playing that hair, long, beautiful hair. And there's just Sasquatch hair flowing. And then you have the cousins off to the side, and they're just pissed off, looking like just giant.
I got no hair. That's right. Sad. Nobody. And then you got the girls who, like, do they want to be with a bear in the woods or a man in the woods? And it's like, do I want to be with the hairy guy in the woods or the bald guy in the woods? Like, which is worse?
One will keep you safe, but the other will keep you warm.
Yeah, there you go. So you got to weigh these things.
So we can kind of keep it somewhat on the monster talk. I know that you said that you were taking a break from your show. I don't know if we talked about your show in the beginning or not, but if you want to let people know a little bit about your show, and then if you want, I know you said you're diving into some new stuff. Maybe we can get into some conversation off of, some of the new stuff you've been diving into.
Yeah, well, the podcast is the Fedora Files. They're all still out there, like everything I've done. And it ranges. I do interview people about different things. Not always monster stuff. It's just like I find a lot of things fascinating and interesting. So I've had artists on, as well as brewery guys, as well as distillery people, as well as moonshiners. I've had all kinds of different people on my show about that kind of stuff. But then I also do a lot of folklore, where I'll do episodes just telling a whole folklore story. Or about the different monsters. I'll spend like an episode on a monster. And
hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in.
Another thing I really got into, I'm going to be doing more, was I called it ChatGPT theater.
Oh God, that sounds like it's going to go bad.
Oh, it does. It does. But then I kind of changed it to AI theater, because I started doing a thing where I would do ChatGPT versus another AI thing. And I gave it a prompt and then said, please write a story or write a play about this. And then I'd have both of these AI things come up with a story. I wouldn't read them until they were, till I recorded it for the first time. So the first time I read it was the first time, like, that was my, you were getting my initial reaction. I had not read it until I started recording. And usually I'd be like typing, okay, here's the prompt, blah, blah, blah. Okay, here's what ChatGPT said. And I'd do a dramatic reading of it. So I would do voices. And when I edited it, I would add music and sound effects. And so it became, so I was having a lot of fun with that. And I am going to do more of those again, because a lot of people seem to enjoy those. And because I would also delve in, I'd make it about monsters. And I would ask it, like, hey, write a story about Bigfoot falling in love with a dog man. And, you know, and I would do it. And then it would write these things. And then I would stop. A lot of times I would just stop, because I'm like, okay, this is wrong. This is not even close to what a dog man is. Like, it was like, it would do this weird thing that had, like, literally a guy holding a dog, and that was dog man. And I was like, no, that's not dog man.
Got to try werewolf. You got to edit the prompts a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't want to, because I wanted to see what they would come up with. And because I was like, I don't want to cheat. I want it, because I'd always say, okay, I'm writing it in. This is exactly what it says when it printed it up, and here it is.
You should have did it partially themed, too. You could have done, like, a Mexican soap opera of Sasquatch and Dogman falling in love or something like that, or a spicy novel about Mothman meeting his first love or something like that. Like, you probably get some crazy off-hinge stuff with that, too.
Oh, yeah, I plan it. Well, one of the things I always joke about is that, like, Hallmark always does, you know, the Christmas movies, and then they'll do Valentine's Day. And those are, like, that's it. Like, they'll have their, you know, their Christmas love stories and their Valentine's Day. And I was like, and I'm always like, I want a Hallmark Halloween love story. And I go, I want it, like, you know, a werewolf falls in love with a witch or whatever.
And their families don't quite clash together properly.
Yeah. So, like, so I think this Halloween I am going to do the a Hallmark ChatGPT love story. So that, I mean, that's in the works. I've said I'm going to do it. I almost did it last Halloween, but a buddy of mine came on and we talked about ghosts instead. And so, because he's a ghost hunter. So I was like, oh, I'll have you on. That's probably a better story for Halloween anyway. But, you know, but yeah, I think I have to do it this year, because it's one of my things I always talk about. So I got to do that.
Dude, that one's going to be honestly a really good one. I mean, even if you added like a comedy spin to it, or if you did two different variations of the story, I could definitely see like a super cheesy one. And then you'd also want your one that's like not cheesy and serious, to the point where it would be funny because it's so serious, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I'd like to try. I have a couple people who've offered to do the reading with me, so they would have a character. So hopefully I'm going to try and get them to join me and, like, okay, here's what it is. Okay, you're going to be this person, this person, this person. Because what I noticed that when you do ChatGPT and ask them to write a play, it actually will list the characters. So then, like, that was at the beginning. And so I could say, okay, you're going to be this guy. You're going to be, and then, all right, let's read it. Let's do it.
You got to give them no context, though. Just send them their lines when they hear it later on, they don't know what any of the context was to what they're responding to.
Oh, yeah, that'd be even better. Like, just, okay, you're Brian, and here's all your lines. Go.
That's what they did with all the Marvel stuff, because they didn't want parts of the script getting out. So, like, they gave a bunch of the actors, like, only their part of the script. And then, like, the other parts, they would mix up the lines and everything so that nobody actually had the full solid script until the movie came out. So, I mean, you could do the same thing. That'd be pretty funny.
I think that I like that idea. I think I'm going to do that now. That's brilliant. And I think that'll be fun, because then I could type it up this week and then send it out to them and say, here's your characters. Just read these lines.
You just tell them the emotion to feel, like, in, like, a bubble next to it or something. Like, sounds sad when you say this.
Yes. Read this, sound sad, go. That'd be awesome. This one, you're happy, go. And then, or even mix the emotion, knowing it's supposed to be sad, be really happy at this point.
They'd be like, your grandma just died. Yes!
Yeah. I always hated her. They're like laughing about it. What?
They're going to go back later and be like, why do I sound like such an asshole?
Because you trusted me. That's why. Don't ever do that. Now, some of the other stuff I plan on doing. I have a friend. I have a couple friends, but I have one friend who is a priest, and he's really a really cool guy. And it's taken me a while to convince him to come on my show, but he's actually agreed to. And he has we're some things I plan to talk to him about. One is exorcism, and then because that's always fascinated me, and I figured being a priest, he's probably. You know, has some info. He's probably never done one, but
he might know a little bit more than the average person.
Yes. So I want to talk to him about that. And also, he and I talked, and he's really into history and like archaeology. And he told me a story of St. Peter and finding his tomb. And it's fascinating. I don't want to give it away, but it involves. It's almost like an Indiana Jones thing. It's so crazy and involves Nazis and everything because they found it during World War II.
Oh, yeah, and when everybody was doing that scramble for any occult object they could possibly get their hands on.
Right, and so they found St. Peter's tomb, but then the Vatican hid it because they didn't want the Nazis to find it. And it was like, the story is fascinating. I was like, I want to have him come on and tell that story because I was like, that is... To me, I was like, that's really interesting. That's kind of cool. Like, whether or not really is St. Peter's tomb, I don't know. And he even says that when he talked, he goes, they're 90% sure because of, like, some artifacts that were found in it that it only made sense. And then they did a DNA test on the bones or whatever was there, and they knew it came from someone from the Palestine. Israel area, and they could tell the age of the person, and so according to like the stories or whatever of how he died and how old he was when he died, the bones all lined up, and I was like, oh, okay, so it's a fascinating story. So
see, I almost kind of wonder too if particular stuff like that where like the Nazis were looking for it. If they would purposely set up like a fake location and make it look like they tried to hide it, and then it ends up just getting lost because nobody like carries on the information over again. And then on the other side of it, man, think about how many like religious, I guess areas, whatever you want to call it, religious locations, things where like saints and priests and all that stuff are buried might be hidden purposely like that. And then again, they just kind of got lost in time on where they were hidden. Because they were just trying to deter somebody away, because it was definitely a thing at one point where they would want to have, I think it's still a thing with a lot of churches, they have to have some type of religious artifact, and a lot of the religious artifacts they used to pass back around during like the 1800s, 1700s were like, pieces of saints, for example. So it became like a whole business thing that people would try to break into different churches, break into different tombs, and try to like take pieces of stuff and then sell them.
Like a finger bone or whatever. It's like
crazy. Exactly. So it's like just because of how they were them doing that, I wonder how many places were hidden and how many places were fake locations that people thought they were getting stuff, but it was just look over here and it's actually over here kind of a thing.
Yeah, and it was really cool. I did a couple podcasts this past year where I looked into like the Ark of the Covenant and then the Holy Grail, and then the one that I always thought to me was fat was the Spear of Destiny, which I thought that should have been one of the Indiana Jones stories, which I guess George Lucas and Steven Spielberg did not. But the Spear of Destiny was the like in the Bible story where the Roman guy jabs it into Jesus's side when he's on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the Spear of Destiny. And it is supposedly whoever had it, would win wars or whatever, be victorious. I guess that's the story.
You think that would be a cursed object on the opposite side of that because of what it was used for, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And Hitler wanted it. And I always thought it was funny because I was like, If you believe what all that, and you're Hitler, and you're trying to get this thing, and I was like, it to me it's hilarious because it's like, okay, you got the Spear of Destiny, it's supposed to make you win wars, but if you're God, are you really forced to be like, oh, Hitler got it, I gotta let him win? It's like he was like, it's like, you know, like you're a really evil guy, but you got the spear, so
damn
God's
it,
gotta do
he
it.
Got the technicality. See, Hitler was just sitting there in that bunker. If he was in the bunker, not in Argentina, like a lot of people make theories about, but he was just sitting in the bunker, like, man, if I'd only gotten that damn spear.
He's like, dang it, why?
I was so close, and now I'm here.
Yeah. Now I'm in Argentina or dead in a bunker, like whichever way you fall on that.
I mean, even if he would have survived and actually got away from everything, even if he was in Argentina, I don't think he'd still be alive now. And if he was,
he'd be dead.
Way on the back nine, you know? He'd be like a decrepit old man.
He'd be just, like I loved watching that series though when they were, was it trying hunting for Hitler or whatever it was called, where they're down there in Argentina and they're like finding all these Nazi bases in Argentina. And I was like, that is fascinating. I may eventually do a podcast about it just because I love that kind of stuff. That stuff to me is.
Dude, if you were Hitler and you were hiding down there, I think one of the last places you'd go to would be a Nazi base. This dude is probably hanging out in some suburban area, and he was like the local like ice cream guy or something, or like the local old man that would give out candy to all the kids. Like, you can't be the old crotchety asshole, otherwise everybody's going to know you're Hitler. You got to throw up the context. You got to live in a populated area and just be the kindest person in the entire town, and everybody be like, oh yeah, that's that great guy. What do you mean? He's never done anything bad.
Alan Hitler. He's a great guy. And it's like,
he gives out ice cream to all the kids, but I have noticed that there are certain kids he does not like to give ice cream to.
Yeah, but those blonde kids, he loves them.
He usually gives them a double scoop.
Yeah, it's like crazy how he does. And you know, that's fun. Another one podcast I want to do, I've been researching it, but I'm afraid to do it, is about the flat earth. Because I love the theories, but I'm afraid if I do one, I'm going to just get hammered by both sides. And so
that's one of those things I'm always scared to touch on the show. Like, I'll talk about it in passing, but I won't get like somebody that comes on just to talk about one or the other, just because it's like, I like to entertain both sides of it. Cause I find both of them fascinating, but both sides, you say anything that's not with their line of thinking and they just get mad at you. So it's like hard to just have a conversation about it when I don't know. I've never been to space, man. Like, I throw the theory that if we live in a simulated reality, maybe it was flat. And as the map started to expand for more people, then it became a globe. Like, maybe both of you guys are right. I don't know, man, but it's just, it's so hard just to have a flat earther, for example, on the show, just because they get so angry in the process of what they're talking about. Like, somebody can just be chill and have a conversation. Absolutely. But that's hard to find. All
right. And the other thing, it's funny, cause I saw, like, I don't remember where I was. I think it's cause I was researching it. Then suddenly I got an ad for, like a map of the flat earth. And I was like this close to buying it, but then I was worried if I bought it, that I'd get on a list. I was like, dang it. It's so cool looking. It's got Asgard on it. It's got like all these.
Welcome to the Flat Earth Society. You get like a gold membership card.
And it was only like $25, but it was the coolest looking because it had like, you know, Narnia. And I was like, that is so. I go, that would be a cool thing to have on your wall. But then I was like, it's like, I don't want to get. Like, all of a sudden, knock on the door. We're taking your kids away from you. Oh, man. Why?
Say, I don't know. So, Narnia exists. It is just over the ice wall.
And remember, Narnia was frozen for most of the story. So there's one.
There's a random wardrobe that's up against the edge of the ice wall. And it's not actually a wardrobe. It's a door to get past the wall. What happened was, at some point in time, somebody just left a dresser there, and then they built the ice wall. It got grown up around it, and it's just there now.
wasn't it a magic tree, and then they chopped it down and he built it, turned it into a wardrobe? Because that's kind of jerky. Because I think that's, I'm trying to remember, because it's been a while since I read it, but I think The Magician's Nephew, that's technically the first book, even though it's in the order he wrote it. It wasn't, but it's a flashback or a prequel or whatever to the line, and the old uncle who in Lion, Witch, Wardrobe was the little kid in the magician's nephew, and he chops down the tree that gets to Narnia, and then he turns it into the wardrobe.
Because he only wants him to have access to it. He's gatekeeping, right?
I know. I was like, I may be completely wrong about it, but I thought that's, in my mind, that's what happened.
See, the prequel before that is the Giving Tree.
Yes, there you go. That's a great story. I would have chopped the tree down, too. It's like,
hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
Because now you got me on the Giving Tree. Because that bothered me because I always thought it was when I was little, it was like it was a weeping willow. Like, that's what it looked like to me. And then suddenly it had apples. And it gave fruit. And I was like, wait, how's a weeping willow have apples? And then I was so confused. And I was like, in a lot of anger. I had a lot of anger towards the Giving Tree. I was like, that tree does way too much things that none of my trees did for me.
That thing's a mutant. It needs to get killed.
Yeah. That thing's doing things. Kill it. If you don't understand it, you just destroy it.
That's something from the Fey world. What was actually happening was the tree was talking to the kid, trying to lure him in. As soon as you realize that it's something from the Fey world, it's like, get rid of it.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you can't trust them. Can't trust them, man. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Fey, I found one of those like fairy circles up in Vermont. And I may not be me anymore because I stood inside it. I defied them.
They actually switched you out. You're actually a changeling. Yeah. That's why you shaved the face up and cleaned everything up.
Yeah, I'm all like, nice, I cut my hair and all that, So, so it's not really me anymore. The real Gregor Fedora is still stuck inside that mushroom circle.
And it's only been 5 minutes and he's just drinking and partying and hanging out.
Yeah. He's up there having a blast.
He's like, it's been like 10 minutes. I shouldn't stay long. I really need to get home to my wife. They're like, oh, no, you're fine. It's only been like 2 minutes in the human world.
Yeah. And it's actually been like 10 years. And it's like, whatever.
Not a big deal. You'll just meet a fairy wife and then start a new family on the other side.
Yeah, it'll be fine. On the other side of the ice wall.
And then once you piss her off, she'll kick you out and then you'll be back to the human world.
Yeah, and it'll be like 100 years had passed and that would be a great story. There you go.
There you go. And it's actually more than 100 years. It's like the technological future jump where it's like modern day with the computer age and somebody goes into the Fey world and they come back and it's like 1,000 years in the future. And the Fey are just like, yeah, we don't come to this world anymore. See you later. Bye.
Yeah. But would it be a technologically utopia or would it be a dystopia?
I feel like it'd be a dystopia. It would have to be a dystopia because the Fae would kick him out the door and say, we don't enter no more. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be awful.
And then this guy's trying to just acclimate to this new area, except for he's been living with Fae for years. So he goes by the Fae customs. So he throws people off because he won't give him like handshakes, for example, because Fae don't like to be touched.
And and he prances around and it's like, what is going on with that?
And at Christmas, he gives no gifts because gifts are rude to fairies.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think we have an idea for our story. So, that would be brilliant. That would be so much fun.
You got to do it. It's almost like Elf in a way that you have like he was raised by this group of weird beings and he tries to bring it into the normal world and it just does not mesh at all. Except again, he jumps into the future. So it's two layers of trying to reacclimate to society.
So it's a dystopian Mad Max world, but he's kind of like Elf. But.
Why can't all of us just drink and have a good time and hang out with the gnomes?
Yeah, don't touch me, though. Holy cow, what's wrong with you?
They're like, we need water.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be awesome. I mean, I'm in for that.
That would be a good one, actually. See, every single time we end up doing a show, man, we throw like 100 different ideas for new books. And last time we had that good idea, but like you said, somebody else has already touched it. I knew somebody else was going to end up trying to touch that at some point.
Well, the thing is, I knew they were doing it and they're going to do I know them and they're going to do an amazing job with it. I just didn't realize how similar to what you and I came up with that's where they went. Cause I talked to them. I was like, hey, I've been talking to this guy and we're kind of, and she's like, that's exactly what my book is. And I'm almost done with it. I'm like, oh.
Great minds think alike, because we thought about that stuff completely separate from each other. So it's a good thing you made contact with them when we didn't end up doing something where two people end up releasing like the same book. We're just like, well, this is awkward.
Exactly. And I didn't want to do that. And I was like, and I should explain that to you when I realized. I was like, oh, I just didn't know where to go. I was like, wow, crap.
I thought you just got bored of it at the time because we just were talking and then just kind of phased out real quick. I thought you just lost interest in the idea.
No, I didn't get bored. I didn't know where to go. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to tell him this. This is because I was like, I don't want to like screw up either side. I was like, oh, I should say, hey, let's pivot in this direction. But now I know we got to pivot in a different direction.
Hey, there's got to be at least some other president at some point that's been into hunting something weird, be it the paranormal, you know, UFOs, like any of that stuff. You got to find another one, because you got Abraham Lincoln, vampire hunter. You got Teddy Roosevelt, cryptid hunter. So you need to find another one that's either a ghost hunter or a UFO hunter.
Now, I think there is a story about George Washington and some ghost or something, or an angel or something.
Hey, talking about the future, you just have to make up a future president and he's going to be a UFO hunter.
Ah, there you go.
Blorp McGlorp, the 498th president of the United States, UFO hunter.
Nice. There we go. And they can't say he didn't, you know. And then what if eventually there is that president and it's like, oh my gosh, these guys were prophets. It's like, wow.
Or they're going to look at it like it's racist at the time, because it's going to end up looking like he's trying to hunt a certain race that they all live with at the time. So we write about this guy hunting grays, and then you're just going to see this book and be like, I did not write off on this. We can still keep our truce. I have no interest in hunting you.
I love you, Gray. Even the ones that probe people, I have no problem with you. No, whatever.
You guys do that in your own time. The difference now is that people choose to be probed now.
Exactly. They volunteer for it. There would be people who would volunteer for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially knowing people now with their kinks currently. Like, imagine where kinks are going to be in the future. It's definitely going to be a thing that people, if aliens and humans all start meshing, there's going to be a lot of weird fetishes between all of them. I mean, you already see that in Japan with the tentacles, weird hentai stuff that you always see people like reposting and talking about. Like, there's already an interest.
And the aliens are just waiting. Like, okay, now's the time. They're into it.
Let's reproduce with them. We got it. We did this in the past. Yes. They lost interest. We got to do it again and correct their line again.
we can stop going to the mobile homes in Alabama. Now I just cut off some of your audience. Like, dang it. Why? How do you know? It's just so bad.
But. Man, I love when you come on the show. It's like we always have this idea that we want to cover something, and we just always get into these like side tangents off of it. Like, I don't know how we got to this point from where we started.
No, I don't either. I go in the wrong direction every time.
Hey, but man, it's always a fun break though, because a lot of the time the show ends up getting serious. So when I have people on that aren't so serious, it just kind of brings out a different aspect of the show, because it's fun to dive into this stuff and make jokes along the way. And half the jokes that I make, it's like only certain people get them that understand like the Sasquatch references and stuff. And I make these jokes with like normal people and they all just don't get it. And it just goes over their heads. And I'm just like, wrong time and place.
And it's just quiet and awkward. And they're like, dang.
This guy hunts Sasquatch. What the hell?
What's wrong with this guy? Why is he like hairy dudes? It's like, I don't know.
Dude, I was talking about the Appalachian Trail today with somebody, and it came up that they're like, oh, I got a bunch of buddies that live down there and stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, do they go for hikes? They do this, they do that? I'm like, yeah, they go squatching. And the guy just looked at me like, they do what? I'm like, they go hunting Sasquatch. He's like, oh, so hiking. I'm like, I guess, yeah. You're not wrong. That is part of it. And a lot of the time, that's what you end up doing if you don't have any luck, but...
And they bang sticks and they yell and, you know.
They just act primal. I mean, what else do you do in the woods? You bang sticks and you yell. It's just, it's going back to being a kid. It's exactly what you did as a kid.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I miss those days. And I live right by the Appalachian. I think I told you last time. Like, literally, it's like right down the road for me. Like, so I've hiked parts of it many times.
I still have yet to actually step foot on the Appalachian Trail. but I'm hoping to next time I come down to West Virginia, Kentucky area. So hopefully maybe, you know, if we're somewhat in the area and I'm down there for the West Virginia Halloween event and you're coming to that too, maybe we can go for a little hike on the trail.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Let me, if you are coming down for that again, we will make a side trip.
I know Dave said he had a couple of really cool paranormal locations he's been waiting to go to. So we can just make it a little posse afterwards. We can all just go to these cool places, you know, take advantage of the trip. Why not?
Exactly. Go on a bunch of side quests and, you know.
Everybody knows how side quests end up turning out. It's like 6 hours later and you're still doing the side quest and you're like, oh shit, I was supposed to be doing something else right now.
Oh, well.
So. It's like the middle of the day and it's the time of the event and it's like you, me, and Dave are all hunting. We're like, oh crap, we're supposed to be somewhere right now.
We're supposed to be at the Halloween event right now.
Everybody's just outside knocking on the door like, hello.
Yeah. I went to his, Halloween in April or whatever it was.
Yeah.
He had. I was at that event and that was a lot of fun. So, but yeah, I'll definitely be going next one. I missed his Christmas event. I was like really upset about that.
I heard that had a really good turnout. I wish I could come to more events down there, but it's just so hard because it's like 8.5 hours from me. But it's one of those things I told him every year I'm going to end up at the Halloween event. So no matter what, I'll at least be down there once a year. And this year he's having me MC and also present. So not only will I be coming down there to vent, but I'll actually have like a part in it in the years going forward. So it's cool. I'll kind of feel like no matter what, like I have to make sure that I go now if I'm going to be the one that kind of helps out and runs like the stage side of things and helping him tell all the stuff that he needs for the presenters and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I'm a little bit of the help.
I'll be there. I'll definitely be at the Halloween one for sure.
And then Orin will be back again this year too. Cause I think you kind of skimmed over him. I don't know if you guys actually talked or not, but we talked about him later on. So we'll actually have like the full little crew together. So.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll say hi.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I know nobody really wants to listen to ad breaks on podcasts, so instead of actually listening to those, why don't you go and check out some of the sponsors and affiliate links for the show instead? Number one, you guys can go and check out I Know Squatch for all of your squatchy gear needs, or you guys can check out Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites, or you guys can check out Snarly Yao for a fantastic natural line of beard oil, beard balm, beard shampoo, and body wash, all with an enticing woodsy aroma of smoky cedar with a hint of mint. And he also puts on a lot of fantastic events around the West Virginia area. So if you guys are in that area, make sure you guys go and check it out and see what kind of events he's putting on, because he definitely brings in an awesome group of people. And you guys can go and check out Big Ape Threads for all of their Bigfoot and cryptid related designs. And going into the affiliate links, you guys can always go and check out the newest sponsor to the show, Organite, specializing in scale model pyramid replicas, EMF protection devices, and much more. And if you guys find any pieces that you guys want to scoop for yourself, you guys can use code OMM for 10% off at checkout. And to all the paranormal investigators out there, you guys can go and check out the Chattergeist. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. My absolute favorite. I use it every single time I go out. And if you guys have any technical questions about it, you guys can always go and hit up Barry over there in Dimension Devices on Instagram. He's the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions for it. And if you use the affiliate link, you guys will receive 10% off at checkout. And just a heads up, the company is based in the UK, so when you check it out on the website, it will be in pounds, but when you guys use PayPal, it will convert over, so don't think that you guys can't scoop one just because you don't live in the UK. And don't forget to check out the affiliate link for Sticker Mule to receive a $10 credit towards your first purchase. Over there, you can get a bunch of stickers printed, t-shirts, posters, all that kind of stuff. So if you guys are another podcast and you guys are looking for good quality stuff in order to print your logos on, Sticker Mule is definitely the place for you. And more information on all of those, of course, is available down in the show description. Let's quickly run through some commercials and get back into the show. And we are back, so let's hop right in. But I guess starting to somewhat wrap up towards the end, I would still like to do the words of wisdom, kind of wrap things up, leave everything on a high note. So if there is any words of wisdom that you could bestow on the listeners, what might it be?
All right, well, biggest word of wisdom is when you are in the woods and you have to relieve yourself, do not grab anything that has three leaves. Don't do it. And you will thank me for it. Go for a maple leaf. You know, it may offend a Canadian, but use the maple leaf.
Or give yourself a nice little dunk in that that stream or river over there.
Yeah. Jump in the river. Do that before you grab anything with three leaves on that.
Go poo bear it in the river.
Yeah, exactly. And I won't explain how I know this, but it is part of my research for this book. Don't use three-leaved plants. That's my words of wisdom to you.
And also, make sure you bury it. Otherwise, yeah. If you cross back over, you may not like the results.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's never good.
So
bad.
As far as like the book goes, the podcast, all that kind of stuff, I'm sure that after listening to us talk about the book for a bit, people are definitely going to want to scoop a copy and check out all the awesome stuff that you're doing with your podcast. So why don't you let everybody know the multiple locations I'm sure they can get the book at, maybe some upcoming events that you're going to be at besides the one that we just talked about, they might be able to scoop a book, and of course where they can find your podcast.
First of all, you can find me on Instagram. That's easy. It's G_Fedora, like the hat, _crypto, CRYPTO. So if you go there, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm posting all the time. You can also go to fedoracrt.com, and that's my website. And from there, you can get to everything. It has links to the podcast and videos, and it has links to the YouTube account, which I think is also Fedora CRT. Like it's YouTube at Fedora or it's YouTube at the Fedora Files. Either one. If you do Fedora CRT on YouTube or the Fedora Files, you'll find it on YouTube. And on Amazon, all you got to do, if you go to Amazon and you type in Happy Little Monsters, my books come up. And if you type in Sasquatch and Me, the book comes up. So they're all on Amazon and they're all available in either paperback or hardback editions. And I actually have a thing right now, it's still going on. If you buy one of the paperback books, any of them, and you leave a review of any kind, if you screenshot me a copy of the review showing you've done it, I put the person in a raffle to win, and then whoever wins, I've been doing it every month or so, I contact them and say, hey, you won. What book do you want? And then whatever book they choose, I get them a hardback copy signed. And so I just have been doing that. That's kind of my ongoing thing. So
that's pretty smart. I haven't heard anybody do something like that before. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So if they bought Sasquatch and Me and they like it and they do a review, send it to me. And then if they win, I say, well, which one did I want? They can pick any of the books I've written and be like, I want Happy Monsters Volume 4. And then I get them a hard cap and I sign it and send it to them. And so that's kind of like the ongoing thing.
That's smart. I like that. And just another comment I wanted to throw in here too, before we start wrapping up, because watching your Instagram page, you have a lot of entertaining stuff on there. So I always recommend that people go and check out your Instagram page. But something you're doing for a while was these like cryptid wisdom type things. And I don't know if you remember any of the ones you posted offhand, but it'd be a funny way to close out the show if you remember a couple of the ones that you did.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to remember, the different like life lessons.
Yeah, like there was pictures of you where you're wearing like this like fuzzy coat and you're like thinking.
Yes,
and then you put all these like funny quotes on them. Yeah. Like those were funny. I was digging those for a while.
What if Nessie is really Nestor, and the reason he is so elusive is he feels emasculated. And then I'll give you one more, and this is for you. You'll appreciate this one. You probably read this one. What if the Michigan dog man is actually a cat person?
See, those are very niche humor, but cryptid-wise, like that shit is so funny to me.
Yes. And so, and also, if you go to my Fedora CRT, I believe, right now I have the Snallygaster song is up. But if you go there, it'll take you to YouTube and you can hear the Man Squatch song that I talked about earlier. Like it'll get you to there. It's on the YouTube channel, but I'll probably post it on my website so people can see it again.
Even cooler idea, if you have an MP3 copy of it, you don't mind sending it to me, I'll use it as like the rapping playout for this episode.
I will. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that'll be perfect. So anybody that wants to hear it can stick around and listen to it after the outro.
Perfect. I will send it. I'll send it to you as soon as I get done.
Perfect, man. Well, I appreciate you making the time to come on today, man. Looking forward to hopefully not having such a gap between the time we end up talking as we did this last time. But at least no matter what, we'll see each other in October, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Yes, we will. And hopefully I'll talk to you like within next week or so. I'll start bugging you again.
Yeah, there you go. You would at least send me one text a week and be like, what's up, man? And then it just you slowly tapered out. But I mean, it happens. You just got to reconnect. That's the point of this stuff, man. You end up talking to so many people on the podcast. Sometimes it's like you lose track and then you're like, oh, crap. And then you realize it's been 2 months and you got to reconnect again.
Oh, yeah. And well, thank you for having me back. It was great. It's always fun.
Always welcome on the show, man. It's always fun when you come on.
Cool.
If anyone is interested in being a guest on the show, having me as a guest on your show, sponsoring the show, or getting a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is inquiriesallrealitypodcast@outlook.com, or through social media, Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is the one that I'm the most active on. Or you guys can get a hold of me through the submission forms, which are available on the link tree, of course. And if anybody is interested in podcast or audiobook production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media, and hopefully we can work something out. And every single thing that I've mentioned is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
One day there was a hunter who went by the name of Ed. Heck of a shot, just not right in the head. He met his fair maiden at 7 p.m. his watch, but she was no girl. Was a hairy Sasquatch. For them it was true love at first sight. Underneath the stars and the pale moonlight, this unholy union made an unnatural blotch. This half man, half beast, hairy man squatch. He's 5 foot something and covered with hair, roaming through the woods without even a care. He only drinks water and has never touched scotch. He's a half man, half beast, hairy man squatch. He eats berries and nuts, sometimes even a skunk. He seems to be a peaceful, big, hairy hunk. Though if you cross him, you must beware. He'd take your arms off for just a tear. He's 5 foot something and covered with hair, roaming through the woods without even a care. He only drinks water and has never touched scotch. Half man, half beast, hairy man squatch. So when in the woods by night or day, please heed the warnings of what I say. Be careful if you find a smelly hair squatch, for it might just belong to the mighty man squatch. 5 foot something and covered with hair, roaming through the woods without even a care. He only drinks water and he's never touched scotch. He's a half man, half beast, hairy man squatch. Yeah.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.